At Her Spirit, we're here for you. We want to help you discover your potential, achieve your goals, ignite your fitness, find your community. Head to herspirit.co.uk and sign up for our core membership. Get access to our virtual classes, monthly challenges, expert advice, and track your progress in our health hub. You'll also find your very own cheerleading squad who will support you every step of the way. Use the code HERSPIRITPOD3 and get 3 months completely free. It's time for you.
Her Spirit Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Her Spirit Together We've Got This series. These shows give us the opportunity to talk to phenomenal women from the world of sport and business about their desires, vulnerability and spirited ways. The purpose of the series is to challenge the diet and fitness industry and why we need to change the conversation from the inside out.
Her Spirit.
I'm Mel Berry and I'm the co-founder of Her Spirit, and today I caught up with Susan Hallam, MBE. Susan has more than 30 years experience working in the digital industry and is a leading influencer in the internet world. She has always believed in the power of data and knowledge, and that successful digital engagement and transformation drives business success. I love her approach to life and just saying yes to anything in front of you. You can then figure out how you achieve what you agree to. As Richard Branson said, if someone offers you an amazing opportunity but you're not sure you can do it, say yes. Then learn how to do it later.
Her Spirit Podcast.
So, welcome, Susan, to today's Her Spirit Podcast. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Mel. It's nice to be here.
So, you've worked in the digital world for 20 years, started off as a university lecturer, then a business owner of Hallam. Must have been an amazing journey to have come on over that period of time. Big, significant change. Tell me more about that and what happened.
Do you know, I did my first digital workshop back in 1993, so you can kind of guess how old I am. And over the years, it has progressed so rapidly, and I've seen the change from not even having Google. So the first work I did was with technologies called Archie and Veronica. And then, of course, the advent of Google, and then the changes. And then I even stop and think, look at things like WhatsApp that you and I are using now. I don't know about you, Mel. How long have you been using WhatsApp?
Oh, I've been in my mind a couple of years, but the reality is it's probably 10 years.
It probably hasn't been as long as we think is the point. And we are every day adopting these new technologies. And as you say, I started my career teaching at the university. I was there with 8 years. It was a really good career move because I had kids, gave me a really good lifestyle to let me then be able to be with my children and also do the academic thing. And then in due course, I decided to set up my own business. And did you know that I was a one-man band for 10 years?
Wow, that must have been an interesting one in terms of the emotional energy that you needed to just generally keep me going and wanting to go in the door every day.
Yeah, and I think also that's a really good question. There are a couple things that I learned. The first thing is, of course, even as a sole trader, you're never really by yourself, are you? You're always surrounded by other people who are providing you support. You just got to find out who these people are. And I think one of the quick lessons I learned is to get rid of those kind of emotional vampire drain people.
The mood hoovers and the energy givers.
This is it. And you got to find the energy givers. And I think the other thing I learned, it took me a while to figure this out, is that through sheer dumb luck, I made three really good decisions. The first thing is, when I set the company up, I actually chose something I love to do. So I really do love information and data and how the internet works. I just think it's really interesting. Fortunately, the second good decision I made is that I'm actually pretty good at doing it. I'm actually good at it. And the third thing, and my favorite thing, is it pays well. So as you look at these kind of career decisions and you reflect back, the intersection of those things, I think, was a really important part of the overall success of the business.
And that's very much about choices, isn't it? We talked a little bit earlier around you had choices and you could have either stayed in the academic world and that would have been great, but you were able to capitalize on that change and those interventions that you saw in front of you.
Yeah, and I think that as you look at these choices, I think probably like most people, those choices were in front of me for quite a little while, and it takes that moment of confidence to choose to do it.
And I love that confidence, and we know that's going to be a lot that we talk about. Let's pick on it now. How important is it for women to have confidence and belief in themselves?
It isn't just women, but it is for women. It is to have that confidence. And that confidence can get eroded in so many kind of really simple ways. But to have that underlying confidence is essential, I think, for us if you're looking at kind of succeeding in pretty much anything you want to do. And I think the thing that goes hand in hand with confidence, Mel, for me, I think, particularly as I get older, is resilience. You know what? There's always going to be these bumps in the road. You and I were discussing some bumps in the road earlier today. And when there are bumps in the road, that kind of confidence and resilience to handle the bump, and the deal is, how do you handle it and get over it? And then you've kind of forgive yourself of the bump, and then you move on. So resilience is, you know, you recognize what went pear-shaped, and then you just get on with it.
And that resilience piece, and that's what our mind section is around tools and techniques. And let's pick up on that with you, is what are the tools and techniques that you use during the kind of the times of vulnerability and general frustration?
General frustration. I think over the years have had some excellent coaching, for which I am very, very grateful. And there was one lesson that I had with a guy that was talking about the three things that you need to do every day that really does help build your resilience. The first thing is gratitude. And I think to actually be grateful, you know what? Life is good. And I think sometimes we tend to forget about it. When things are good, when there's a bump in the road, we tend to focus on what's screwing up right now. So I think we need to take a moment every day for a moment of gratitude. Second thing that I do find makes me feel a lot better when there's these bumps in the road is a random act of kindness. Being nice to other people builds your confidence even more in yourself. So I think that kind of random act of kindness also helps me when the going gets tough. And then the third thing, and I know the one that you're going to probably give me a gold star, is actually getting outside and getting some exercise every day. Every day. And you and I were talking about the fact of just being outside, even if it's something as simple as walking around, really makes a huge difference. Yeah. And I think that helps build my confidence.
And let's pick up on that. So that's one of the, you know, key pillars, which is obviously body. What does Susan do to keep resilience? Is it walking to the office? What's the thing that makes you smile inside out?
We are right now here at my house, and we're recording this podcast at home, and I hope people may be hearing my cat and my dog walking around during this recording. I love being outside. I love physically being outside. I love being in my garden. I love gardening. My husband and I both like to walk. We've trekked the Sahara Desert, by the way. So getting outside and walking, I think, is really good. But I think also you talk about confidence. I'm in an interesting position in that my sister played for the U.S. Olympic field hockey team. So in terms of confidence, she was always the exceptional athlete. So that's where I've learned to walk.
And you have Mike, and we know, you know, I used to work with Mike, didn't
yeah.
many kind of decades ago at good old Speedo International. Let's pick up on your support mechanism. That's vitally important. There's Mike. Who else is there within your support mechanism that helps to enable you to grow and flourish?
Do you know, I have, I've lived and worked in the city of Nottingham for 35 years. And even just today, I had a client almost come in and have a chat with me. We know each other. You do have relationships with people that you admire and that you work with. So it could be work colleagues. For me, family is really important. My mom is still alive. Bless her cotton socks. She's 85 years old. I've just come home from visiting her. I'm one of five children. I have two children of my own. My husband has great children, great cousins and the like. So for me, I would say a lot of my support network is either people I know through work, and also it's my family.
Yeah, and it's so important. And let's go back to your recognition. So you were awarded the MBE in 2008 on the Queen's Honours List around entrepreneurship and innovation. Let's pick up on innovation, and that's core to your purpose. What is the importance of innovation in the world today? Why is it so integral for us to harness?
As you look at the work I do, which is in the digital marketing arena, clearly innovation is happening everywhere. There are new developments and new technologies. So we need it just as the bread and butter of our business. But I think innovation is everywhere. And I think what we need to be doing as women is celebrating the fact that even the small changes that we make, either in what we do in our work or changes that we make in our lifestyle or changes that we make as personal decisions, is recognized that even small changes are innovation. For some reason, the word innovation seems to have been morphed or translated into big bang, huge .com. And it isn't. Innovation happens everywhere around us. guess that kind of brings me back to my gratitude thing. You have to celebrate even the small innovations, because together that's what's going to make the big change.
At Her Spirit, we know how powerful women can be. We love your strength, your determination, your compassion. We love the energy that sparks when we connect and spur each other on. Her Spirit was created to ignite that flame of determination, to unleash your energy, to build your self-belief, and to help every woman find a way to your healthiest mind, body, and soul yet. We want to inspire 1 million women just like you to be active, healthy, and happy, because you deserve it. Head to herspirit.co.uk, join our core membership, and use the code HERSPIRITPOD3 to get 3 months completely free. Join our monthly challenges, get access to the Her Spirit Health Hub, and track your activity levels, mood, food, sleep, and stress every single week with your own personalised dashboard. Get expert advice and join daily live classes that can be played back at any time. Plus, find the support that you need to get started and stay motivated. Just sign up at herspirit.co.uk and use the code HERSPIRITPOD3 to get 3 months completely free. It's time for you.
And togetherness is so critical for us as a business, and we always talk about together we've got this. Let's lead on to that. What does togetherness mean to you, both personally and professionally in the workplace?
Again, I think as we take a look at togetherness, it is about giving, not of your, it's giving as well as taking. And I think, as you say, in terms of that togetherness, it's about being vulnerable to be able to allow people to help you. Togetherness might have the idea of a common cause or sense of direction. For me, the togetherness in a business context, I like to use the word North Star. And that means we know which way we're all pulling together as a company. But that's true if you're playing on, if you're playing netball, if you're out running with a team, or even if you're just participating in any activity. The fact that we've got that common vision of why are we together? What are we trying to achieve?
And I'm going to pick up on the vulnerability word, because it's one of my loved words. I don't know if you've read much or around Brené Brown. What do you think? Do you think vulnerability is a positive thing, that we are vulnerable?
Yeah. I think as we take a look at that kind of vulnerability thing, is that we look at vulnerability as it's the idea that you can give help and take help. And I think the idea of that is recognizing your areas of weakness and actually just recognizing the fact that we're not all great at everything that we do, but being able to know where to look for help. And I think with that vulnerability thing, that is good, tying that theme together with resilience, is the idea that we do make these improvements, and they are small, incremental, and maybe sometimes for me it is two steps forward, but then it is one step back, and that's okay too.
And how do you ask for help? You talk a lot about giving. How do you ask for help?
Probably not very well, Mel, actually. I'm not really good at asking for help. You've known me for several years, and I guess people can hear in the recording that I'm not a local Nottingham native. And I think it is kind of an American trait, that actually kind of asking for that help explicitly is just not part of my DNA. So for me to ask for help, I have to consciously make the decision that it is the right thing to do. And I don't, but so it doesn't, I'm not ashamed of it, but the fact of the matter is I don't naturally come to that step, but it is something that I've had to learn to ask for help.
And the drive in you to have the career that you've had, and let's go back to you as the business owner, what drives you? What is that work ethic and the culture that you embed within your business?
It's an interesting question. One of the things that really annoys me, Mel, at the moment, are these things that they say you can make money while you're asleep. Have you heard these passages?
I have. I had a friend who said that, and I almost burst out laughing at the dinner table when he said that.
It's just snake oil, isn't it? You don't make, so that you don't achieve anything while you're asleep except resting and doing all. We can talk about sleep again in a minute if you want, because sleep is great and I love sleep. So that I think in terms of where I get the drive and energy, once again, I'm going to revert back to my parents. And again, my dad was a depression baby. He was born in the 1920s. And I think there is that work ethic. And I don't think it's very politically correct at the moment, but I genuinely believe that work is good. It gives you purpose. It gives you a way to meet people. It gives you a way to connect to people. So I think part of my drive is I do love my work, and I do love being with the people I work with, and I love my clients, and I love what we do. Do what's also, though, funny is that you can hear from listening to me that I'm a bit hyper. You're sitting there so calmly. You're cool as a cucumber, aren't you?
Internally, you know, it's always good to have that outward perception.
You are. So you're my cool cucumber, whereas I have that kind of hyper thing going on. But did you know I have super low blood pressure?
Do you?
Yeah.
How do you get that?
You inherit it. You don't. I think you do. You do just... So I think we have our parents to thank for good things and bad things, but your parents are intrinsically forever part of who you are. So again, for me, you look at my drive, I look at my parents, I would probably say they have had a lot to do with it. And I thank them for that.
And you talked about, you know, your mother still being alive at the mm-hmm. age of 85. I'm sure she's a extremely, you know, powerful guidance to get you to where you are and still is today. And let's pick back up on the business piece. So 1/5 of business owners in the UK are over 50. Do you think that we are a generation, and I have to put my hand up now to being Ooh. In that kind of decade, is we're a generation that has seen inordinate success and embraced what is a significant change? Does it surprise you that that amount of business owners are the age that we are?
As we look at the number of people who are older, and again, like you, I'm probably closer to the 60 mark than the 50 mark. The first thing, of course, is I think on the one hand, a lot of people in their 50s are running businesses because they've got access to money. And they've got access to the career opportunities. So there are some logistical, experiential things. But I also think it brings us back to that thing that you and I were just talking about a minute ago. As at 50, you do get new and renewed levels of self-confidence. There is this attitude, I don't mind. I was going to say I don't care, but I don't mind what you think.
Yeah,
that I can get on and do with what I want.
And that's always a saying that I love when people goes, I don't care what they say. And I picked someone up on that yesterday, because everybody cares because they're human beings. It's how you choose to absorb that information. Ordinarily good, but sometimes not so good, and how that kind of alters and kind of changes you, doesn't it?
It does. And I think that ability to not mind, or also I think, because we're that little bit older and we have these more experiences, I have a whole reservoir of memories of how have I dealt with this before. So in many instances, I think in some respects I can respond more quickly and more efficiently because my mind, I've already experienced similar patterns. And you just wonder, your subconscious must be working on these things with you. You know that thing about gut instinct.
Yeah, and I think that you talked about having coaches through, you know, the period of your life, and let's go on to role models and influencers, and sitting in, I think, what you call your love shack, it is then who have been role models and influencers, and the good old Simon Sinek is sitting at the top of the deck. Love Simon. Is he somebody that you enjoy?
Yeah, so we're sitting, I have a lovely home office, and I do have Simon Sinek there, and I've heard him speak, and I do read all of his books. I know for a fact that the great leaders that I work with all read a lot. Reading's kind of going out of fashion. Now, we could, but I think that's because people are listening to podcasts and we're like this. So we're learning. There's lots of different learning styles. So for me, as I look at these kind of leaders, I'm looking who else is sitting on my stack of books that I'm reading at the moment. But I do look at these kinds. So I've had mentors. I don't know about you. Do you remember when you got your first job? One of my earliest jobs here in the UK is I worked for BT.
I worked for an American Air Force base, RAF Lake and Heath. I was the varsity sports coordinator and kind of loved it. And all these massive, tall Americans that could slam dunk. And I was this white, naive, I think 18 or 19 year old.
Full of self-confidence.
Yeah.
You did. And well?
Yeah, it was great. It was fantastic. It then gave me the confidence to go take a job in the Middle East. And that's where I started to work on the brand side. So originally for Reebok and then for Speedo. And that's how my journey brought me back to Nottingham with Speedo International.
You never know where the path's going to lead, do you?
You definitely don't.
You definitely don't. And I think if I were to look back at my success over all of these years, because you reckon over the years, I went from a one-man band to employing 7 people to 17 people to 37 people. We currently employ just over 50 people. I think one of the greatest factors of success for me has been just to use the word yes. So if you were to say to me, would you like to join this team? I'll go, yeah, yes, I can do that. And then I have to stop and think, how am I going to do it? But at least saying yes, I think, is a really wonderful way to explore new paths, things that you wouldn't have considered. And I do believe all will be well. You will sort these things out. You know, these things can be good, but the ability to give yourself permission to say yes, I know for me has been a really important part.
And
of
there's a lot that's documented by people like Richard Branson around entrepreneurial traits that, again, you jump out of the aeroplane and then you go, oh, right, I'm out. How do I build to be able to kind of get down there?
That's it.
That's, again, around resilience. That's around the whole vulnerability piece, which is so integral, both personally and professionally, isn't it?
And I think that's back to the vulnerability point that you just said. I was referring to the fact that I worked for British Telecom, and I recognize now I had one of the best coaches at that point, a gentleman called Pete Coles, and he pretty much shadowed me and advised me and gave me help and guidance. And I look at that as a model about how can I then, because essentially he knew I had jumped out of the plane without a parachute and I didn't know what I was going to do, but he was there to help me. And I think we have to recognize that people are there to support you. So I guess there was really nothing in it for him explicitly to provide me with that support. I think that's the kind of networking, that's what you're looking at as an issue, to as an opportunity for us to support each other, but to accept that support.
Completely. Well. And our underlying brand strapline is together we've got this. And let's go into the second port around we're looking at the diet and fitness industry and we're challenging it. And as somebody that works in this digital space, digital has an amazing role to play, but it does have some backlash from some of the people that go and use it as a platform, not in a hugely positive way. Let's focus on the positive. Mm-hmm. How is it such a positive tool for us to be able to get togetherness through a platform that doesn't mean that you have to be geographically sat next to someone?
I think if all of us took a moment just to sit and reflect on our own personal use of social media, we would quickly recognize these golden opportunities. For me personally, do you remember the ice bucket challenge?
I certainly do.
And that, I thought, was for me a really transformational moment of social activism. I think it was for motor neurone disease.
I can't remember the charity, but there are numerous other charities. But I do remember in my back garden having the ice dumped over the top of it. And that's an interesting campaign because it got a lot of awareness. But what it unfortunately didn't do was money into the piggy banks of those kind of charities. So great campaign. But it's just being mindful as shared marketeers that the messaging and the mechanics are there to deliver on your promise.
Exactly. And it's about aligning the fact that this is still a fundraising exercise. But in the early days, and then, of course, we've had the Me Too campaigns. We've got one of them that's quite close to my heart is the Free Periods campaign, which, of course, you know, is girls should not be missing school because they have their period. So this campaign, which is happening right now, it's Amika George or someone, I can't remember, who is running this lovely campaign. So I think there's a lot of this social activism. And one thing that I'm aware of, there's been a body of research that shows that women are much more likely to use social media as an activism platform, whereas guys, men, are more likely, have a greater propensity to use it as a way to interact with other politicians. So they're using it to connect one-to-one, whereas women are also using it to connect to each other in this kind of supportive, collaborative activism kind of role.
Yeah, and let's pick up on the diet side. So a couple of stats. So we know that women are fed up with the 30-day, you know, shred images that are out there, and 50% of the UK population is constantly on a diet, and 1 in 10 women in the UK are losing 5% of their body fat and not keeping it off. So what role does it have to play in saying it's okay no matter what you look like, and you don't need to kind of airbrush? Let's kind of look at the mechanism that it has to say it's okay to be the person that you are.
It is. And I think the one stat that I think you need to add to your list, because I love the way you've put those numbers together, and the one stat I'd like to add to it is the diet industry is a $35 billion industry. So they have a vested interest in making us feel this way. If you look at the way food even is currently engineered, you know, it's engineered to appeal to our biological cravings, that it's cheap. And so they're trying to, on the one hand, drive us to eat too much, And then on the other hand, then they're saying, you know, smack, 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 you are not the ideal body type. On the other hand, though, Mel, this idea of ideal body type, it's not new, is it? There's nothing new under the sun. Do you know, I was in Philadelphia, the city of Philadelphia last week, and there's a medical science museum that has all these kind of really kind of gross science.
What did you learn? What did you find out?
Well, I could, some of it's too gross to mention. But what they did have was the skeleton of women from the Victorian times who used to wear corsets to make themselves beautiful. And their spine was deformed and their ribs were deformed, all in the pursuit of beauty. Why do we do this to ourselves? It's not new, is it? No.
It isn't new. And for us, Her Spirit is saying there is another way. And that's for us the importance of that. And do you think it's critically important that anyone that listens to this is accepting of themselves and they know that they in turn will get inward confidence and can do anything they choose to?
Definitely. And as you say, you know, in order to make something a habit, you have to kind of be doing it repeatedly. What we're trying to do is change these habits. For me, it's just the habit of going outside every day. You have to give yourself the opportunity to do it. I guess the other thing, though, is that what some of us might be vulnerable to, and I know I am in this case, is that I think this whole, and I will use the word nasty, am I allowed to say nasty?
Yes, you certainly can.
That whole nasty industry, they're not just selling weight loss, you know. They're also selling the whole thing of convenience. And you can do this in 2 weeks and I'm going to make it. So I think we're also vulnerable to the whole, everything needs to be quick and convenient. And what's the one most precious commodity that you and I have?
It's time.
Time. So those nasty boogers, what they're now doing is they're also aligning the fake-o weight loss, you're not very pretty type thing, with convenience.
And people buy into that, don't they? And for us in everything that we do in our messaging is you don't have to. It's about looking inward. It's about lifelong sustainability. And I'm going to take you back to the beginnings of Her Spirit and interesting what your thoughts are on this quote. Maya Angelou is someone I've loved. And Maya Angelou was the heart of, you know, the start of the business. So a woman in harmony with her spirit is like a river flowing. She goes where she will without pretense. And arrives at her destination, prepared to be herself and only herself. Tell me, how does that make you feel?
I'm just sitting here smiling beside you. Yeah. I love that. And actually, I do need to put that on my wall somewhere.
You're the second person that stole it. Paula Dunn, who I did a podcast with as well, said, I love it. So she's brilliant, Maya Angelou. I love her to death.
I love it. And again, for me, it really resonates with how my life has gone. You know, I have been given so many opportunities. And as we look in terms of where you don't know where, again, you and I have used this word already, you don't know where the path is going to leave, but it's what I have made of it and what choices I've made and how it goes. And I think what we need to do is that with all of our, we as women need to celebrate our accomplishments and we need to celebrate our endeavors. They may be big endeavors, they may be little endeavors, but we have to celebrate all of them because they're all part of this lovely river that is our life, isn't it?
And we don't unfortunately do that
Why
enough.
Not?
I think that we're unfortunately looking at we can't do that versus then we can. And I don't think we really embrace, you know, we talk about, you know, perfectly imperfect. So celebration, let's champion it together to make sure that we make sure the Her Spirit community celebrates everything they do.
Yep.
And perfectly imperfect. What makes you, Susan? I've got my lumps and bumps internally and externally. Is there any lumps and bumps for you?
Don't we? Yeah. It's a really interesting question that to sit and reflect. And I think that's what's the really nice part of being part of your podcast and this interview is to sit back and reflect on your life. And as I get older, I'm asked more and more to talk about, you know, how have I scaled up the business and how have I done the success and all that. And I try to think about this perfectly imperfect thing. And I do think my perfectly imperfect kind of thing, it has to do that's this kind of ethical approach that I was taught to do the right thing, you know, do the right thing. Do the right thing. And so sometimes you can try too hard to do the right thing and you can go too far doing the right thing. And actually the right thing is what I think is the right thing. It may not be what you think is the right thing. So my perfectly imperfect, I think, is this ethical vein that has pretty much guided everything I do in my life. but it can come back and bite you sometimes as well.
It definitely does. And let's pick up on that efficacy side around brands, and you've been exposed to a multitude of brands over your career, and picking up on one that's been quite prominent over the last month is Nike, and on the high street with their launching of, you know, the supersized models. Do you think it's tokenistic, or do you think for them as a brand it's embedded in their whole culture to look at the whole size offering?
I do. I think that you've raised two important points. I think the first point is you say it had better not just be a marketing gimmick. You know, is this just the marketing people saying this is how we're going to make money right now? I don't know about you, but I'm hoping with Nike that it actually is genuinely part of their culture. I guess I have no way of knowing that for sure. But the other measure that I have that I would say in terms of this kind of brand positioning is it isn't what they say about themselves that matters. It's what other people say about them. So really what we need to see is, do women pick up on this, and do they feel that this is real? Are they getting amplification? Are they getting engagement? Because if it's not authentic and it's not genuine, it will be found out.
Have you seen brands in your digital space being more cause related than they have ever been, and using that as a real tool to engage with their customers?
Oh, definitely. So as you say, even with our small company, the word ethical has always formed part of our raison d'etre. And I think you do know that one of our clients, as a little teeny company, one of our clients is the United Nations. So we service the United Nations, and we got that through our ethical work. So I think there's nothing new under the sun. Some businesses have always positioned themselves as being ethical, but more and more are doing it. You know the Innocent brand?
Yep.
What do you reckon of that one then in terms of their...
I remember when they came to market and loved it as somebody that was a lover of fruit and kind of fruit juice. And then I know that they've been quite vilified by the sugar content and a few other things. I believe from understanding, you know, the business that was started, that they had a real ethical purpose, and we talk a lot about that. So, yeah, I don't know what your views on them as a brand and their brand journey.
And exactly like you, I think in the early days, I was so impressed because I don't think I'd ever seen anything like it before. And maybe it has then, in a sense, it does feel perhaps less authentic and more commercial. And I guess, and also if we look at other, and this is true for many brands, do you remember green and black chocolate?
I love green and black chocolate still today. I love dark chocolate every day.
Oh, gorgeous. And again, that came from very, very ethical foundations. But then, of course, when the business owner decides to exit from the business, it did then get sold into a multinational conglomerate, which may not have the exact same ethical principles. So these are real dilemmas, aren't they, for business owners? But
yeah, I mean, for me, I always see that Her Spirit will be around that togetherness piece, and you know our business. How do you think that we can help to give women that greater confidence to enable them to unlock their capabilities and do things they never thought possible?
Yeah, I think that we've covered some of these themes, but watching what you're doing, the kind of things that you're talking about, and the projects and activities and campaigns that you're running, what I do see Her Spirit doing is it really is about that resilience thing. And what it also is about, that when you get a knock, you need to have a circle of people around you who emotionally refill you when you've had the stuffing knocked out of you. And we all get the stuffing knocked out of us from time to time, but as long as you have that kind of network, or even if you don't use them explicitly and knowingly, at least even knowing that they're there for you, I think is also invaluable. So I do say that, and I think the other thing, probably watching what you're posting on social media and the examples, what I also think is really cool, I don't know if you're going to agree, is a number of people talking about what they're giving as part of the program.
Yeah, completely.
Completely. Isn't that interesting that they're not talking about what they're getting, they're talking about what they're giving?
And that for myself and Holly, when we set the business up, is again a virtuous environment that then when you receive, you want to give back because you've seen a transformational experience or moment happen because of that intervention, and you want others to be able to feel the same way that you have. So it's vitally important for us, for sure.
And it connects us together. Then we have this shared experience, we have this shared knowledge. So it's And I think with the kind of the work we do as an agency, you know, we're bringing these people together that we're working to solve people's problems, and all the things that you and I have just talked about, it's true. It's so transferable, isn't it, in terms of celebrating our success, understanding our North Star and our vision, understanding when people are down. The book, the Simon Sinek book that you look at, is called Leaders Eat Last. You need to make sure everyone else is fed before you eat, and that way the team will get there. Nobody gets left behind.
And he's got a great TED talk around that, hasn't he? You know, I love that. I think it related, wasn't it, to the American Air Force, where then the leader of that then was a testament to what we did. And just picking up on Susan, the health to end is sleep. Love it or don't get enough of it?
Both. I love to sleep, and I don't get nearly enough. Don't you admire young people that they sleep until whatever time? If I sleep until 6:30, I'm feeling grateful. But I, on the other hand, I have always been an early bird. I love to get up early in the morning. It's fresh and it's quiet, and I can come outside. And I think also, over the years, I've gotten into the routine that when I get up in the morning, I go outside and I work around in the garden and I do stuff and I walk, get the paper. And that, I think, taking advantage of that quiet time is good. But no, I don't get nearly enough sleep. I wish I could get more.
I know, definitely. And getting older, we talked a little bit about it. Is it a state of mind or is it just the reality of life?
I think, get out of here. It's more than just a state of mind, isn't it?
Yeah.
I look at my husband, he's had his knee replaced. I used to like to water ski. I don't think I'd consider doing that right now. So on the one hand, there are limitations. But on the other hand, I have grown and developed in other ways now that I'm 50-ish that I wouldn't have had when I was 30. So it's kind of give, it's kind of take. My grandfather died when he was in his 90s, and he used to like to tell me that he felt like he was 27 inside all his life, that mentally it's still. So I don't know about you, how old do you feel inside?
21.
21?
If that. Yeah.
Cool.
Mischievous, generally curious. I have someone that says to me that I'm 5 3/4 because I ask questions that normally someone of that age would ask. And that's that curiosity. It's great. If you lose your curiosity, I just think you're 1 foot away from a change in life that shoots the wrong way.
It is. And it is this kind of thing about the joy of you know the saying, learn something new every day. You don't do it because you're supposed to do it. You do it because you're asking questions and learning new stuff. And I do think that, for me, that for my mindset, that's a really important part of who I am.
Yeah. And the last topic let's pick up on and is very topical at the moment is around menopause. And, you know, I've admitted, I'm going to say defeat, but I mean that in terms of acceptance of it, that it is something where I have changed. It was my energy levels. How did it affect you, and why is it important for women to talk about it?
Well, I think it's important to talk about it because there's nothing mystical or magical about it. It's just part of the process of your body just getting older. I realized I was in an unusual situation that I had an early menopause, so I don't think I even knew I was having it, if that makes sense. So in some respects, I then put resilience into overdrive, and it is genuinely, I can't sleep at night, buck up and get on with it. Not feeling, you know, not able to pay attention, buck up and get on with it. I wish in hindsight, I wish I hadn't understood what was going on. But because I was only in my early 40s at the time, I just didn't put two and two together. I don't think that's that uncommon either, though.
No, I don't know the statistics. I know for me, it was kind of late 40s, and talking to so many women that are now open, and BBC did some great, you know, content with Louise Minchin and others. We seem to be of a generation that we're here to challenge and say it's okay to have a conversation that maybe the generation before us didn't have.
Yeah, yeah. And I, on the other hand, I am still of a, you know, for example, when I'm at work, I don't know I want to be sitting around the boardroom with my other fellow directors discussing.
Yeah. Time and place, isn't there?
Thank you, my love. That's what I wanted you to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, Susan, it's been a complete and utter pleasure to spend some time properly having a kind of conversation and putting the worlds to right. If you were to give a woman listening to this, just you talked about your three simple interventions, when they turn around and say, I haven't got time or I can't do it, what would you say to them to unlock that true potential within them?
I think we've covered some of these today. I think if you say, I don't have time, or, you know, I do think it is a question of just say yes. I think in the main, if I don't have time, it's because I haven't prioritized it. You know, I don't know about you, but I also think, you know, you want to get something done, ask a busy person. So I think our lives are so rich and so full, we just need to give ourselves permission to bring even more into our lives. And as you say, that could be either health or fitness or health or eating well or taking good care of yourself or taking good care of your family. All of that is just giving yourself permission to do it.
And that yes is so important, because we live in a world where we're asked to take things away because they're deemed bad for us. Whereas if you say yes, you can still have those things that you enjoy with a little bit of, you know, kind of naughtiness. But yes gives you the opportunity to do so much more and be so much richer and fulfilled, isn't it?
Exactly. And even if it were to come to fitness, let's say, everything in moderation. So we don't want nothing, you know, we have such rich diversity in our lives, of which sport and fitness and health, and for that matter, work and family, all forms part of the rich tapestry of our lives. Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you, Susan. Cool. I appreciate it. I've loved being in a very calm space with the dog and the cat and spending time with you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mel. It's been a real pleasure. Thanks.
Her Spirit Podcast.
If you've been inspired by today's podcast and you want to know more about Her Spirit, then simply go to herspirit.co.uk and come and join the community and achieve goals that you never thought possible.